The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. What is the New Covenant? Does it do away with the law, the Ten Commandments? Were the Ten Commandments the only thing in the Old Covenant? Does grace do away with God's law? Is that what the New Covenant is all about? Does the New Covenant of grace give you license or set you free to disobey God? Does it give you license to ignore and trample on the Word of God, including the law that God gave and taught mankind, beginning with Adam and Eve, to live by for their own good, which is a lamp and guide to a joyful life, which teaches us how to respect, honor God and man? Did Christ come to destroy the law? Christ is very much a part of the New Covenant. Did Christ do away with the law which he wrote with his own fingers and gave to Moses on two tablets of stone? I want you to understand, first of all, what the New Covenant does not do. It does not give you license to continue to break God's law in the letter or in the spirit. And Romans 6 tells us that and makes it very plain. Notice what Paul has to say here in Romans 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now we know, my friend, that if you have repented of your sins and you've been baptized for the remission of sins and you've been given God's Holy Spirit, we know that we are under grace. The Bible teaches that very strongly, and so do I. We are living under grace, and we are living under at least the terms of the New Covenant. But Paul says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, he's asking, shall we continue to break God's law that grace may abound? Sin is what you repent of, so you are no longer a sinner. Now keep that on your mind, and keep on your mind what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. And Paul is asking, shall we continue to break God's law that we may have more and more and more grace poured out upon us? Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Yes, that died to sin. In other words, you have come to the point that you are alive to Christ and serving Christ and God the Father instead of serving the way of sin. Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were baptized with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now that's telling us much here in this verse. It says we died to sin and that we should walk in newness of life. In other words, you are to live a different style of life due to the fact that you have died to sin. In other words, due to the fact that your sins have been forgiven and you've been washed clean of sin. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Yes, baptism is a symbolic of a burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, burying the old man, burying the old self, and being resurrected to walk in newness of life as Christ was resurrected from the dead and serving God the Father. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Notice that, my friends. I want to read that verse again. Verse 7 of Romans 6. For he who has died, that is, has been baptized, has repented, washed and set free of sin, cleansed from his unrighteousness, cleansed from his sins, has been freed from sin. Now notice what it said, freed from sin, not free to go on and sin, as Paul is trying to get the point across to us. You have been freed from sin, washed clean. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Now how does Christ live? Paul goes on and tells us, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Let's read verse 9 again. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Now we know that Christ died once and for all for the sins of the world. And it says here that he dies no more. And it likens us, as we'll go on and see in the following verses here, that we died to sin when we were baptized. Our sins were forgiven, and we're to walk in newness of life, not sinning, not breaking God's law, and been set free from sin so that we don't have to pay the death penalty, which the wages of sin is the death penalty. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, and death no longer has dominion over you if you have met the requirements that God requires for salvation, and you continue to live in those requirements. Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now notice verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God and Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, dead to sin, no longer to live a life of sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And my friends, when this was penned, it was 30 years or better after Christ had been crucified. After everything that had been nailed to the stake, 30 years or better before. And Paul is still teaching that if you sin, you are living in the way of death. And he's teaching that you cannot go on and sin more and more that grace may abound. Verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Notice what that's telling us, my friends. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. In other words, your body, what you can do with your body. Said, don't present them to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Yes, the way you act, the way you conduct your life, and the way you think, and so on. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Uh-oh, what does this mean, that you are not under law, but you are under grace? Well, it's just been talking about that you had died to sin, so that the law would not have dominion over you. That is, the death penalty of breaking God's law would not have dominion over you. So he says here in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. In other words, you are not under the death penalty of the law, which is the second death, is what Paul is telling you here. He isn't telling us that you should not keep God's law, not at all, and he makes that very plain. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, or we could say under the death penalty of the law, but under grace? That is the fact that God has forgiven us for breaking his law, for sinning. Sin is the transgression of the law, and that's what you are forgiven of, that's what you are pardoned of, and that's what grace is. It forgives you and it pardons you of breaking God's law. It sets you free from sin at that point. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin to death, or of obedience to righteousness? Yes, if you break God's law, then you are a slave to Satan and his way. And God makes that very plain here. But he says, if you obey, then you are a servant to righteousness, God's way. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Yes, we used to be slaves to sin before we repented, before we were baptized, before we received the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And having been set free from sin, here it is again, having been set free from sin by the grace of God, by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the pardon of your sin, you became slaves of righteousness. But you notice, my friend, verse 18 says, having been set free from sin. It doesn't say being set free to sin. It doesn't say being set free to go on and break God's law, to ignore God's law, and that means the seventh day as well, the Sabbath. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, and that's what lawlessness does, it leads to more lawlessness, And as I've said before on this program, that's why the flood came and destroyed mankind in Noah's day, because lawlessness became so rampant. That's why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And that's why this world is bringing itself to the brink of annihilation, is because of lawlessness, breaking God's law. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Yes, righteousness, and God says that all of His commandments are righteous. You can read that in Psalm 119, verse 172, and says righteousness leads to holiness. And God says, become you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, and become you holy as your Father in heaven is holy. And that's the way to do it, is by the grace of God and by living God's way. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Yes, indeed, you weren't living a righteous life when you were serving sin. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Yes, the wages of sin is death. But now, having been set free from sin, there it is again, having been set free from sin, He never says being set free to sin. He never says being set free to ignore and trample and break God's law. But He says, now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. Now that sounds good to me, having your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. Yes, the wages of breaking God's law is death. Unless you repent and come under the grace of Jesus Christ, and then you continue to walk in newness of life, not breaking God's law, but keeping God's law in the spirit and in the letter, then you will wind up in the lake of fire. Goes on here in verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was written many years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. It is true we are under grace. It is also true that Christ is a mediator of a new covenant. I wanted to bring Hebrews 6 out and make that very clear and very plain, that you can't continue in sin just because there is a new covenant, because you are living under the terms of a new covenant. We'll get into the new covenant now. Notice in Hebrews 8, beginning in verse 6. But now He has ordained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. The old covenant did not offer a sacrifice that could take away sins, neither did it offer salvation. But this better or new covenant, which Christ is the mediator of, offers a sacrifice for sins and salvation by and through the mediator of the better covenant, Jesus Christ Himself. Well, I see we've got to break off there, but we'll pick this up on our next program. Keep listening, because God has much to say about grace, and God has much to say about the new covenant, what the new covenant is and what it does, what it's like to live under the new covenant, and when the new covenant will be made with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. If you would like tapes or CDs of this program, it's going to be a series of programs, or the books or the articles to help you understand the new covenant, then call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com and request our free booklets, What Do You Mean Salvation? Very few people know what salvation is, or how you receive, or when you receive it. And if you aren't sure that you understand what salvation is, then call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God, Seventh Day. Thanks for joining us today. And we invite you to continue listening to the Way It Ought to Be program, daily on some stations and weekly on others. Have a good day, my friends, and may God help you understand His plan of salvation.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615. 615 Marble Hill, Missouri.